Take your Bibles and turn to Job chapter 9. Last week, we kind of finished up what Bildad had to say in chapter 8. And we begin just the first few verses, verses 1 through 3 of Job chapter 9, of Job's response to one of his friends. And so if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, I'm just going to read a few more verses tonight. And here in chapter 9. Beginning in verse 4, and I'll go down through verse 13. But Job continues to say things to his friends. He said about God, "He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered, which removeth the mountains, and they know not, which overturneth them in his anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. He passeth on also, but I perceive him not. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Who will say unto him, what doest thou? If God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. How much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him?" We discussed that last week, that he is no longer going to necessarily quip back at the things that his friends say, because honestly and truly, the actual knowledge about God and the things about God that they are saying are not false. Okay, they are true statements, but what he is going to make sure to reason with them about are the facts of what and who God is. And so this next part here, he is talking all about God, all the way of these things. All the way through verse 12, from verse 4, he is talking about just the strength of God, the awesomeness of God, the things that God is going to accomplish, whether man knows it or not. God is just going to be God. He's going to do the things that God does. And so God here is described as this great and mighty being. By the way, he is. And so that's what we need to understand. So let's just look at a few of these things here. We're going to see God's wisdom, his power. We're going to see about how his wrath and anger are handled in the earth. We're going to see the secret things of God and the wonders of God and the omnipotence and sovereignty of God and how he orchestrates himself in this life. By the way, how can someone who is so wicked and so vile and such a hypocrite know all these great things about God? And actually say them with conviction, right? I mean, you could be a hypocrite and a backslider and know things about God, but you're not going to go and publish that to the world, right? You're going to kind of hide your relationship with God because you don't want to be found out. Anyways, just a little thought there. But look at verse 4. He says, "He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered." And what's the answer to that? No one. Okay, no one. God is wise in heart. I love how in Proverbs, Solomon describes wisdom as in embodied, if you will, as a woman. It's a female sense, calls it a her, wisdom, right? It says she, you know, and you're supposed to grab hold of her, okay? So, and I love in Proverbs 8 how wisdom is talking, and she says that she was with him from the beginning. You know, I mean, how many of you love those chapters about wisdom and just the description of wisdom? You know, she crieth at the gates, and she, you know, they're just phenomenal, okay? And so when it talks about God being wise in heart,
Who else is compared to God? Okay, no one. I mean, there is no comparison. It says he is wise in heart. And by the way, it says he is mighty in strength. Who is stronger than God? None. Okay? None. And what entity has ever come close to, if you will, hanging with him, or if you will, being his equal or his match, if you will? None. Job says, it says, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered. That just in thinking about that, I thought of different Bible examples, but none better than Pharaoh. Because it says that Pharaoh hardened his heart, right? And listen, Pharaoh was supposed to be God, right? That's what their culture taught. Each Pharaoh, as they served as Pharaoh, were regarded as the God of that particular era or that particular time. They were a deity of sorts in man's eyes, of course. But God very easily humbled Pharaoh. And just with 10 simple plagues. I mean, think about it. They were common things that happened to mankind. I mean, did firstborn children die? Yes, that wasn't uncommon. Now, the fact that all the firstborn in Egypt died all at the same time, that was uncommon. I understand that. But think about it, in a reasonable sense, these were all common things that, and by the way, the magicians could do some of the same ones that Moses did, right? So these things, for God to deal with Pharaoh that way was no difficult task. He is wise in heart, he is mighty in strength, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered. By the way, what we should take from this particular thing is there is none wiser than God, so listen to God. There is none stronger than God, so trust in God. And you know what? You will never get one over on God. You will never be able to defeat God. You will never be able to be victorious over God, so don't even try. Because it says, who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered none. You know, it's funny, we think that, hey, if I go my own path or do my own thing or try to get my own desires accomplished, I'm going to get them. But in doing so, we're hardening ourselves against God. Why do we think that we're going to be happy? Why do we think that we're going to be satisfied? Why do we think that we're going to be victorious? By hardening ourselves against him. Because we're human, I guess. But it's not going to work. Okay? How many of you have ever just fought so hard for something and then it turned out to not be what you thought it was? Right? I mean, that's what we do in our spiritual lives. Oh, it looks good. You know, the devil's got that beautiful, you know, candy coating on it, but you hit it with a spoon and it just cracks, right? It just breaks. Because it's not really what it's meant, what it was, what it seemed. And so, by the way, he did that to Eve in Genesis chapter 3. And guess what? Everything came crumbling down, right? And so, none. Look at verse 5. Which removeth the mountains, and they know not. Which overturneth them in his anger. Think about this. They're removed and they don't even know. Right? I mean, how does that work? Because God is like that. Just think about the things, all the things in your life that God has done that you didn't even know about. By the way, we may along the trail of life find out some things and look back, as you look back at your past, you say, oh wow, I can see how God did this and this and this, and at the time I had no idea. And guess what? There's going to be probably exponentially more of those things that we won't even know until we get to heaven. It's just an amazing thing. But that's what God does. He says that he can overturn mountains, if you will, in his anger. By the way, God can do lots of things. We have example after example of miraculous things that God did in his wrath and judgment and anger. Remember, I just recently talked about the Korah standing before Moses, right? With those censers, and the ground just went whoop, and down they went, and the ground went whoop, and they were done. That's pretty amazing. All right, I'd like to see any engineer of this world try to do that, okay? It doesn't whoop and whoop. I mean, it takes them 2 years to repave 4 miles of road out here. Okay, or maybe more. Right? I mean, but to open the ground, swallow up a bunch of people and close it back again, that's pretty outstanding. I mean, think about it. Just amazing things. To watch a man sit up on top of a mountain and pray a very short prayer and watch fire come down from heaven that incinerates not only the burnt offering and the wood, but also the rocks and all the water that it was soaked in. I don't know about you, but I can't even start a wet fire, if you will. Okay, even with Brother David's blowtorch. Okay, we would have a hard time. If I took 12 buckets of water and soaked my wood, I don't think the blowtorch would even do it. But boy, that fire did. And it even burnt up the rocks. Okay, this is how amazing this God is. By the way, Job is giving credit where credit is due. And you can see how Job is still an upright man. He still fears God. He still eschews evil. He still is right in his dealings with the Lord. He is just and upright before God. He is telling his friends all about his great God. Now, to me, that doesn't sound like a hypocrite. And to me, that doesn't sound like an evil, wicked backslider at all. It sounds like a man who's in love with his God and who cares about his God and his relationship with his God. It says here, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. That's talking about earthquakes and things like that. Have you ever seen what earthquakes can do to man's creation? Yeah, levels it, right? How many of you have ever seen a tsunami or the after effects of a tsunami or perhaps volcanoes and things like that? Listen, it is quite destructive. And sometimes, even these natural disasters, they happen, and then you go back and look where perhaps civilization was, and you can't find any signs of that civilization. It just wipes it clean, just like that. Gone. It says, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not. Wow. You know, that's supposed to be something that's just kind of automatic. Right? Just kind of happens every day. How about the stars? It says, sealeth up the stars. Which alone, by the way, it talks about God as the entity. He says, him alone, which alone spreadeth out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. And then it gives mention here in verse 9 of these different, I just lost the word. It starts with an A. Astrology, right? Is that right? No, astronomy. Astronomy is the study. Astrology is the worship or whatever that is, whatever. Astronomy. Listen, Orion, the Pleiades. Some of you know what those are, right? I'm not sure. I know exactly what Arcturus is, but I'm sure I can find out. But I have heard of the Pleiades and I have heard of Orion before. But you understand all these constellations, the stars, the galaxies. All of this stuff, God has orchestrated all of these things. He says, which doeth great things. And then I love what Job says here, past finding out. Now, if we focus on this for just a few minutes, he says these things are past finding out, yea, wonders without number. What I believe is happening here is Job is saying all these things to his friends, and he's trying to remind them that sometimes things with God are past finding out. Like his case. Don't just pass by this account of God without understanding that Job has a case. Because he is pleading it before God. He is overwhelmed, right? He has shared his case with God and before his friends. And now his friends are trying to plead a case against him that he must be wicked, he must be a hypocrite, he must be against God in order for these things to happen. And then Job rebuttals with, hey, God does these things all alone. He is the one that's wise. He is the one that's strong. He is the one that will take care of things. And he is the one that does things that we don't even understand. And I think Job is beginning to realize that even he doesn't understand why these things are happening to him. It says that they are wonders without number. By the way, a wonder does not have to be a positive thing. A wonder can be a negative thing. You ever wonder why a little baby perhaps dies, right? I mean, that's not a positive wonder, is it? You ever wonder why a missionary family on deputation or on furlough is driving somewhere and a drunk driver hits them and kills the entire missionary family? Okay, that's a wonder, and that's not positive, is it? Or perhaps like recently there was a missionary in South Africa. Was kidnapped during a service. Now, thankfully, the military was able to go in and eliminate the hostile attackers and rescue the missionary. So they've been able to have a reunion with their family and back to the work again. But it doesn't always turn out that way. I mean, we've read the books and the biographies of great missionaries who were martyred for the Lord's work. Those are all wonders, right? But they're not necessarily positive things. But he says here that his wonders are without number. He says, lo, he goeth by me, and I see him not. Now, think about this. He says, he passes on also, but I perceive him not. Even Job, in his awareness of God, admitted that he wasn't always aware of God. Why? Because God is God. And Job is not God. Folks, listen, you can have a right relationship with God. You can read your Bible. You can pray. You can search the scriptures. You can study to show yourself approved. You can walk and talk with him. But you're not always going to know when he's there and when he's not, if you will. You're not always going to be aware of God. Now, sometimes it's because of you and hindrances that sin comes up with. That happens. But sometimes it's just going to be God being God, doing what God does. And what is that? Whatever God wants to do. Whether you know it or not. And so God is these things. By the way, just Job knowing that this is how God is enough to solidify that Job is in a right relationship with God. And that there's nothing between him and his God. And then he says this here in the rest of verse 12. He says, who will say unto him, what doest thou? I love that. That just makes me laugh, you know? And so he's basically telling Bildad, and he's basically telling Eliphaz, he's saying, look, who are you to question why or what God is doing? He says, listen, behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? He says, who will say unto him, what doest thou? Who is gonna stand up and question God? You know who? The fool. The fool is going to question God. The fool is going to say, by the way, the evil man will say this too, yea, hath God said?
Or why is God doing that? And listen, I know we've probably all been there, and we've probably all wondered why God is doing something in our lives. But don't be a fool and question God. Now, it's different to wonder why, right? And it's different to say to God, God, why are you doing this? You know, it's all about attitude, right? And so, but really, honestly, truly, even if God wanted to answer us, he doesn't have to. He does not owe us any explanation of why or how or when he does things, because he is God. And then in verse 13, Job makes a very, very sensible comment. He says, if God will not withdraw his anger, the proud helpers do stoop under him. Now, many believe, and I seem to agree, that Job is referring to his friends here, because they're supposed to be his helpers in his time of sorrow. You know, they came, they met together, they said, hey, we should go see our friend Job, right? And they were supposed to come and help him. But what were they? Eliphaz so far has showed nothing but pride and contempt toward God. Bildad has shown no less pride or contempt toward God and Job. And he says, look, unless God will change, get rid of his anger, the proud helpers will stoop under him. Now, if you fast forward to the end of the book, you see that God doesn't rebuke Job. He does, a small way, but he more so rebukes his friends. And he tells the friends, you go to Job, you say you're sorry, and he'll pray for you that I'll forgive you. Okay, I mean, that's basically what he tells them. All right, so, and then Job says this, how much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? So now, I think, I kind of see this as a little bit of a turning point in Job's countenance and in his attitude. He's kind of lost a little bit of the sorrow of, you know, wanting to end his life. And end the sorrow and end the pain. And now he's kind of starting to take a stand for God and kind of champion God's cause against his friends for these next several chapters here. And so, I don't know, I just kind of notice how Job and his comments are making a little bit of a change, right? And you see here, he says, look, I felt this way. I've asked God to end my days and to not let me have to go through this anymore. But then he says, how much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? So he's beginning to kind of turn the corner, I feel like, in his thought process about what God is doing in his life. But make no mistake that God can be trusted. God is the one that will always win. He is the wisest. He is the strongest. He is the controller of everything. And who are we to reason with him, to fight against him, stand before him in opposition? There's nothing we can do. And there's no sense in doing those things. God reserves the full an exact distribution of reward and punishment, of judgment and blessing. Therefore, no one can do anything against him. God is the one that decides. And so we've got to remember that we have to be humbled, if you will, under his care, under his almighty hand. The Bible tells us to humble ourselves, right? In the sight of the Lord, and what will he do? Yeah, he will lift us up. And so Job is realizing these things, and he is just simply stating that man has the inability to contend with God on any front. And he says, who am I? Or excuse me, how much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? Now, as we're going to finish through the rest of this chapter, maybe next time or some of it, But think on these things and just consider the words that Job uses to describe his great God, and realize the same thing is true in our lives as well. God is the one that is in control of all things. No matter how we feel about him or others feel about him. He is the one that cannot be, if you will, reasoned with, because he is reason. He is wisdom. He is strength. He is the one capable and in position to judge and to bless and to curse and to punish and to relinquish and to all those things. God is the one. Who can hinder him? Nobody. Who can say to him, what are you doing? Nobody. Who can stop him? Nobody. Who can reason with him? Nobody. God is the one alone that cares for these things.